Back on, and you're all recovered from being off.
Yeah, I'm sort of at the moment just preparing for launching these manual groups. Yeah, so that's somewhat yeah, I'm having to reassess what I'm doing at the minute because I'd anticipated there being, 20 or 30 people, but at the moment I've got about 100 applicants, so I'm going to reassess what I'm going to do with it at the minute. So there we go. Never mind. But yeah, I've just come back from a conference in Germany over the weekend where I was taking a conference, which was really, really good. Really, really, really open and hungry, and it was a great, great time I had over there. Heaven was really open, so it was very good. So, how about you guys?
Pretty much about the same here. It's just same stuff. What about you, Anna?
It's been well and woolly. We did a team went down to the Gay Pride Festival in one of the cities near us and set up a tent and put up a sign that said words of encouragement and spiritual reading and had them lined up, prophesied over them all day long, led 12 people to the Lord, stuff like that.
It's good stuff.
It was.
Very good. Okay. So, how do you think the whole issue of governmental things and Venture 3 type stuff, where are you with that thing?
I personally feel I need to practice.
Yeah.
I go into the courts a lot, used it and conquered it a lot. Did it last weekend, doing more and more deliverance through it. But for the region, as benches, just need to get, sometimes I get up there and I think, oh, what's protocol? And am I going to make a mess? And so using it for, the real governmental issues, haven't really stepped into it.
Yeah. Okay. About you, Colleen?
For personal issues, and even just for, I'm working on taking issues for our area, just personally up. Mostly just the mobile courts. I still, I'm still a sensor, so visually nothing really happens for me. It just is all, I can sense God's presence. I sense when he's doing something, or I hear a response or whatever, but it's it's very much still localized to that area. And we've been so busy, the three of us, with conferences or whatever lately, that we haven't had a chance to really go up together.
Okay.
So
So, in terms of what area of authority do you feel that it is that God has given you? Because, in a sense, you're spread across the one end of the country to the other. Is it a spiritual dimension of something, in or a physical area, or what is it that you feel that is the sphere or government that God's given you?
both the 49th parallel, or the border that we're on, Is the longest border of peace in, I think, the history of the world. It's 300 years of peace. But one of the first things the Lord spoke to me is he doesn't recognize the division of the countries, that, you know, we're all one people in him. And so on one hand, it's the realm of the spirit and the spiritual battles that happen, you know, over the northern part of this continent. But then it's also the physical, relational, which may be storms, relational agreements with the government, like, you know, there are pipeline issues for oil, things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, and you feel that the three of you with Denise, or with, is that do you feel the three called to government, or is that not so? I'm just trying to get a feeling of what to do to try and equip you, and where to encourage you, what to share, because I know you've been also meeting with Elizabeth, and she's obviously meeting with others. I just want to try and get a feel for what it is that you're looking to legislate and see into, really.
Yeah. It's actually Colleen, Elizabeth, and I.
Right.
Denise lives in my area and is highly involved with things like the healing rooms, and she's on a very steep learning curve. God's doing amazing things in her life. And the Lord just really pointed her out to me and said that this would be good for her. So we invited her to, but we couldn't get in, you know, a mentoring session with Elizabeth because hers had already started.
Yeah, I think she likes early in the morning, which would be middle of your night. So fair enough. Okay. Well, it'd probably be good just for me to share some understanding of, in terms of the legislative, in terms of beginning to understand how to begin to frame those things and outwork those things. Just by example, you know, our bench of three here, we have a prophetic word which was given to us out of a vision from heaven about a book. So we have a black book that God has said to us that there are pages in this book that when we can open, which will give us insight, blueprints, plans, strategy, various things within this black book. So what we do and what we've done is that we will go onto our mountain together, and we will call for an angel. They bring the black book, and we look into it. And what we find is that we'll all have a part of the revelation of what it is that we're looking into. And often then, you know, we'll spend, you know, half an hour just opening the book, looking into it, and then we'll feedback and see what is it that God's shown us. And we'll find very often there are different pieces of the jigsaw puzzle that we see. And then various other things that God has been doing recently, maybe dreams, maybe certain things will begin to tie in, and we'll get a picture of what is God trying to show us. And once we've got a clarity of that, we usually write it down, and then we need earthly agreement. Yeah, so we've established something that God has shown us in heaven. But how we then administer that here is we need earthly agreement. So we did this last week, and we have a council of 12, which is made up of all our mountains and ministry areas. And so we saw various things on our scroll. There was a couple of in the book. We saw various things, that God said showed us something. And we brought that before the 12, shared what God had shown us, began to just ask for their hearts to be open towards that, and then look to see in context of where we are and what God is doing, where does this fit? So the previous time we met, we dealt with in the courts why people struggle to take responsibility for governance and for authority and things. So it's like, you know, because there's a reticence often sometimes with people to step into authority. And we identified various things that why people didn't. We had the accusations, which were specific things, some general things. We dealt with it. And so this time, when we went back into heaven as a three, God actually gave us some things to take responsibility for. Things that we knew and had prophetically seen, but hadn't specifically said, yes, we come into agreement with this, we'll take responsibility. So we had two fiery scrolls, which were some specific things that God had called us to. We had a couple of other things that also needed affirming that we'd seen. And so we put these on the table. I printed out some scrolls and pictures of them and fiery scrolls, put them on the table. And then when there was agreement, we all stepped back into the presence of the Ark of God, and we took those things into our heart. And that is the absolute key to then receiving mandates and having governmental authority. It's not the words, it's actually taking the responsibility of that thing and put it in your heart and opening your heart for that, putting it in there, and then you carry it. And when you carry it in your heart, that releases the governmental wherever you are and what you're doing. And so we did that. We stepped in together and asked for a mandate for each person in connection to those things that we'd taken into our heart. So a specific thing that God would show each person. Because around the ark, you have the manifest presence of God, his four faces that are there that we step into, but you have the circle, you know, the Hebrew circle of beginning and ending. So you can see back into the beginning of something, and you can see into the ending of something, and you can bring that into today. And so it's really important to be able to access that, because if you think of like the high priest, you know, he came one day a year with some blood into this place, sang the names of God and the names of those who are in God. God manifests within between the wings of the cherubim, and the whole sins of a whole year for a whole nation are all dealt with. And it's like, well, how is that even possible? But the reality is, if you look in the Hebrew culture, you know, the end, after the end, is always a beginning. So the beginning and the end are always connected next to each other. And if you look back into the beginning, there's no sin. So you're looking back into a time where Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. So there's no sin there. If you go to the future, there is no sin, because sin is contained within time, and in the age to come, we're stepping outside of time as we know it into a different dimension of it. So there's no sin. So if you bring the end and the beginning together, you can manifest into this dimension, there's no sin, which is why the high priest could bring that, and actually it could all be dealt with for a whole year, because he was bringing the past and the future together into the present. And the same applies to our personal lives, all the things that we're administering in terms of benches of three and authority on our mountains. If we look back, we will see our scroll of destiny agreed in heaven before the foundation of the world. If we look forward, we will see us outworking that in the age to come. So we need to bring that into today. And so what of my destiny do I need to manifest into today? And therefore I can receive that as a mandate to specifically authorize me to do things associated with that. So if I'm looking at a bench of three, we're called to have authority, and it's a particular mountain or particular thing you're looking at. What was it like in the beginning? You know, what was it like when Adam and Eve were there without sin? How were they going to outwork their mandate to bring the blessing of God into the garden and then outwork it? Because if you think of what it was like, heaven and earth were overlapped. The garden of God was overlapping the garden of man. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day in both gardens. They had access to life, to the river of life flowing out of God's garden into their garden. Everything was as it should have been. They had access to the atmosphere of the earth. Everything was as it should have been. We sort of get quaint pictures that, you know, they wandered around the garden and just sort of picked flowers and ate a bit of fruit. You know, they had access to heaven. They were supposed to, in that access to heaven, manifest that in the garden and then see the garden expand, because there's no end to the increase of his government, to bring the rest of the world into the pattern that they had brought from heaven into their garden, and then see the world brought in under the government of God, and so the whole planet be like the garden, which was like heaven. So it's actually heaven on earth. But to do that, they had to receive the blessing of God to be empowered, which they did. They then needed to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it and have dominion. So they didn't do that. But we can now fulfill that mandate, because Jesus is not coming back until everything has been restored, according to Acts 3:19-21. He's not coming back until everything I've spoken in the old covenant and with ancient prophets and what God spoke in those days has been fulfilled. So if he called Adam and Eve to fill the earth, have and subdue and have dominion, from the perspective of
he froze. Are you still there, Colleen?
Yeah, I've been keeping hitting the end call button instead of mute. So I come in and I go out and I come in. So I was just thinking as he was talking, that whole bringing that whole beginning and ending sinlessness into this is a whole different way of looking and legislating it. It's not dealing with the evil. It's bringing in the sinlessness.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing I thought about when you were talking, Mike, is that I've been on a real steep learning curve again with dream interpretation and the dimension of the soul. When you enter into what you're talking about, the soul has no play in that, and therefore the issues of right and wrong, because you're not focused on that. You're focused on kingdom things. You know, what you said about the beginning to end, there's no sin.
Yeah.
And it just takes any ability for the soul to misbehave out of the picture.
Yeah, because literally you are looking to bring into the day that which God has ordained, and particularly for today, you know, we want the mandate for today. So we have to actually realize that this engaging heaven is not so we can have experiences or just have lovely things happen, or have It's about responsibility of fulfilling the purposes of God, and those purposes is to increase the realm of his government. And so the responsibility to rule and to subdue, in other words, deal with where there is those that are not under the rule of God in our sphere, we have authority to establish his government so we can push those things out to see that they've got no room to operate. But that means we're not just talking about spiritual things. And I think when we begin to realize that what we're called is to terraform, to actually bring, you know, the pattern of heaven, which is the reality, the truth, to outwork on earth, so that this is not just a theoretical pattern of heaven, but a real one. So we have to change things, and we, once we really gain an understanding of our authority, we'll know that we can actually transform and change and move things in this realm to begin to manifest that. And so what we're looking for around the world is for those people who will rise up, take authority over that which is God's given them, and then begin to administrate that government to bring heaven to earth. And where that means changing earth, seeing it transformed, seeing it terraformed, whether physical or spiritual, then we need to engage that government. If you think back into the Garden of Eden, God gave them the responsibility to cultivate that garden, to tend it, and he demonstrated their creative ability to do that by giving them the animals to name. And actually, they didn't just came all formed in a nice package. They came in possibility, which is what happens in quantum realms. When you observe something, it becomes fixed. You know, rather than a wave of possibility of energy, it becomes matter, which is substance. And so they had the potential that God gave them, and as they observed and took that potential and then named them by speaking out that which they saw, animals became what we know now. So Adam was very creative. If you look around all the different sorts and shapes and different things we've got, you know, long necks, big trunks, you know, those jump high, you know, all that came out of his creative ability. Why? Because he'd been in heaven. He had seen the garden of God. He'd seen the pattern of life that's there, and then in his capacity as God's son, released that into the earth. So that's why we see the nature of the authority and power we have. But it takes desire, and it takes the willingness to place those things in our hearts and begin to meditate them into creative being, which doesn't just happen. You know, and the more time we spend in God's presence, around his presence, and we take that which we are carrying with us into that place, then the revelation of the future, the revelation of the past come together, and we begin to administer and legislate and call things into being and move mountains and do the things that we can do from our mountains with the keys of the kingdom, so that we can see a transformation. And literally, when these benches of three are raised up, they will provide places of refuge, as cities of refuge, and they may be physical cities or spiritual places where people can come in, and those places are the embassy on earth of God's kingdom. So an embassy in another country does not operate under the rules of the country it's in, but from the country that's established it. So we're not governed by the rules of this world. We have a higher level of authority which comes out of heaven. And so we establish these places of habitation of God, heaven and earth connections, Bethels, if you like, gateways of heaven. And then we don't then sit there thinking, okay, we're safe. We'll just wait for God to come and rescue us at the end. No, they're just become administrative centers from which we begin to expand his government and which we begin to subdue, bring dominion, until those administrative centers all over the world come together and the glory of God is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And there will be no room left for darkness. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that when everything is under his feet, he is going to return and hand the kingdom back to his Father. So he will then remove Satan from the situation completely, and we'll go into what is going to come with a new heaven and a new earth and afterwards. But we have to see that we're called to some serious stuff. And we have to learn how to do it, you know. And so when we you know, took these things into the realm of heaven on Monday, when we had our 12 group, came back out, shared the mandates that we felt that we were given. Some were very specific things that we needed to do on the mountains that we've got. But one of the things that was shared was that the enemy had robbed something. God had taken someone into Satan's trophy room to see that there was something that had been robbed from us. And so having done that, we then decided, okay, what do we do with that? Why is it robbed from us? We need to go back to the court. So we took that issue back to the court, stepped in there together, asked for the court to be convened, commanded our accusers to come before the court, and then we listened. And then again, each of us had a portion of the big picture that we put together. And once we'd looked at it, accepted that we all owned it, that whether we did personally or whether it had happened, personally took responsibility for it, went back into the court under the judgment of God and were separated from the authority or the access the enemy had. And then we then can now administer that. So on Sunday, we're going to minister to the rest of the church that for which we've been robbed, and we're going to give it back. So that's how sort of legislation takes place. You know, you have what's in your heart, you then receive mandates. You know, we could have gone through other processes of going to the court of angels, of, you know, getting things ratified if there were new things. You know, there are other processes you can go through, but we were clear what we needed to do. And now we can release that, because we now have an open heaven to release that which we are mandated to do. And so, in a sense, you have to govern, and you have to release that government by actively engaging. Now, all of us are responsible to engage God for ourselves and for our own personal situations and those things, but you can't really separate that which is in your heart one from another. So if you're on a mountain and you're a bench of three, you're always a bench of three, and the personal stuff that you deal with will be part of the bigger picture as well, because we're only one mountain where we sit on, and we govern the others from there. Whether it's a bench of three mountain, whether it's any other mountains, it's like it is who we are. So, you know, it is serious. It's a lot of fun as well, because it's great seeing what is in the future, and it's great seeing how we can manifest that in the present. But, you know, God is looking to raise up a Joshua generation around the world to be ready to mentor the next generation. And therefore, they will be those that, again, advance the kingdom and go, you know, stand on our shoulders, or our ceiling becomes their floor, and they can go further and higher, and we pass the baton, and we support and mentor them to go further. But we have to teach them how to rule, because that was what Joshua did when he went into the Promised Land. He began to rule, and establish the kingdom there and take possession of what their inheritance was and what was belonged to them. But they all had to then stand together and fight for it and possess it. So, you know, I think really understanding how these things work legislatively is important. Because if you're going to legislate things in the natural realm, you have to see them in the spiritual realm first. You know, they have to be manifested there. Otherwise, you're just stewarding things in this realm. They may be good things, and a lot of people are doing really good things, and they're stewarding some great things. But we've been called to go beyond that into government, and that means legislating and exercising authority, not just stewarding the things we may have been given by God. You know, we then begin to administrate in authority and power. And yeah, it does take practice and changing mindsets and thinking patterns and all that, because we're so used to doing it a particular way. But God wants us to do it a new way. And actually, the glory and the grace and the mercy on the old ways is fading away. So those who carry on wanting to do things an old way and steward things here without administering first in heaven will find they're on their own. And they are going to get weary and heavy laden, carrying responsibilities and trying to do things that are no longer theirs. And so that's a danger that we really need to avoid by making sure we embrace the revelation that God's given, you know, so that we can fully begin to administrate these things. And, you know, the level of authority that we have in the realms of heaven is proportional to the level of surrender and holiness that's outworked in our lives, which is why we have to present ourselves as living sacrifices. You know, but the more we yield to that process, as you said earlier, you know, the soul has no part to play negatively. The soul has a great part to play in harmony, in unity, in wholeness. Because I separated my soul from my spirit, not to keep it separate, but to reintegrate it so that my soul and my spirit are acting as one. My body goes along with the ride in agreement. So my spirit has to be bigger than my soul, because it has to go through the gateways of my soul, and my soul cooperates and we work together. Because Adam and Eve in the beginning had no separation. They weren't body, soul, spirit separate. They were whole. So their spirit was totally God conscious. Their consciousness, in a sense, their soul, was completely God conscious. And they did have no self-awareness apart from the relationship with God, because there was no independence. They were just one. But of course, you know, they went and hid in the bushes and tried to cover up and use the natural things that God had given them to cover up and hide. You know, so we have to learn to run to God, not from Him. And learn to be open and honest. And in the transparency of our transformation, our soul does not get in the way. It cooperates and longs and pants after the presence of God and intimacy and affirmation and encouragement, you know, and knowing identity in who we are in our scroll and all those things. You know. But God is not going to release the sort of level of authority that we are destined to possess to those that are not willing to surrender, yield, and be transformed. You know, He won't do it. And so we can go on mountains, and we can go through the protocol and the process, but the level of influence and government we will be able to administer is proportional to that which is in us. And if Jesus said, you know, the enemy has nothing in me, and He had the Spirit without measure, then we also need to have no genealogy, which is what the order of Melchizedek, Joshua generation, whatever you want to call them, have. No genealogy. All their genetic stuff from the past has been dealt with. And so they are a new creation because we're in Christ. But we have to step into him and engage in that so that we're living out of the revelation of that truth rather than struggling and stumbling over stuff all the time because we've just not dealt with it. You know? So, you know, this is an awesome amount of revelation that God's releasing, and I think we can engage in that really, really well. We just need to keep practicing and keep engaging in it. If you've got any other things you want to talk about or share?
What was hitting me, Mike, when you were talking was the whole reconciliation aspect that Jesus talked about. It's a reconciliation in our lives between our spirit, souls, and bodies, getting to that sinless state of the fullness of Christ, where, like you said, the enemy has nothing in us, and then moving that through whatever spheres of influence or government that God has, and then bringing that reconciliation of heaven down to bear on earth.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that sums it up really well. Yeah, because we have been given a ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors of that heavenly kingdom on earth. But in a sense, an ambassador in a country today is there to represent their country. We're here to take over, mm-hmm. which is a different dimension. And the reality is that's the truth. You know, we are supposed to subdue and bring dominion. So we're supposed to take over and bring the government of God. Yeah, and actually sometimes Jesus said, what did he say? You know, sometimes it's the violent have to take the kingdom by force. So sometimes we have to do some warfare. But we obviously receive the legislative authority to release that warfare. Yeah. So
and it's a different kind of warfare too, isn't it? It's more angelic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's not the old ways of binding and loosing, but it's just bringing heaven's authority and everything that he's got available, releasing all of his guns into the situation.
Absolutely so, yeah. You want to share
something? Oh, I was just joking around. I was saying, but we do it in love, therefore we're not terrorists.
Absolutely, yeah. Because we're... Yeah. Righteousness and justice, which are the foundations of God's kingdom throne. You know, it's not that we want to get our own back on the devil, or we want actually, no, we're here to demonstrate what it is to be in a relationship with God. And the reality is, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised above all the other spheres of mountains, and then every of those spheres will begin to come to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Because we have got what the answers are. You know, we will have the answer to sickness. We will have the answer to lack and poverty. And there may well be chaos around us until we bring transformation to it, but we will be living from a different dimension. And I think if you look through Jesus' miracles and what he did and his ministry here on earth, you see the representations of those things that we're supposed to do. So, you know, if there is lack, we're supposed to multiply food as well as bring fertility and abundance. And I think you see forerunners of that. You know, I remember the old transformation video where this valley where God's presence had come, and they had sort of, you know, 2 foot, 3 foot long carrots and massive crops, and just they kept on producing. Well, that is what can happen when we administrate. Because if in heaven there is always fruit on the tree of life, then why not have a continual crop of produce? We only just have to administrate what we see in heaven, and it's continually producing fruit. So why not? And actually, if there are situations that we need to multiply something, then we have the authority, because Jesus did that. You know, Jesus told us to do some things. You know, so, you know, there's some pretty exciting opportunities, I think, coming if we learn how to administer and rule and to establish that governmental rule. We just have to take responsibility as sons and begin to administrate it. And we're obviously just learning. You know, I'm not saying that we're experts yet or, you know, but we're learning the protocols, we're getting better at it. You know, we've had to go through some difficulties here to get to this point where we're now beginning to operate in governmental authority, and we're doing it the old way. We're not sitting around having a chat, trying to come up with a solution and seeing if that works. You know, we're going into heaven and we're getting the mandate from heaven, and then we will administrate that from there and then begin to administrate it here, knowing that we have authority and we're in faith. You know, I have no doubt that when we minister on Sunday, what we did on Monday, we're going to see a real manifestation of the power and glory of God in restoring things to people that have been stolen and robbed. Because we've already done it. In fact, we've already been in the future and done it. Because heaven is, in a sense, the realm of before. So on that day, I can manifest what I've seen in the realm of before and bring that in today to manifest it today on the basis of what was before, also in terms of my destiny and also in terms of the calling to for us to bring transformation to the earth and to demonstrate heaven on earth. So, you know, yeah, there's things to learn and there are things to embrace, but we've just got to keep going for it.
It truly is much easier. I can remember years ago, like, we went to the show and there was a group of people that didn't, and I won't name the people group, but, you know, a subculture, and you knew that they were just dabbling with, you know, demons. And, you know, you're praying in tongues and doing all this stuff where I was. And so, like, one of the things that happened this last weekend was there was a group of Satan worshipers. And, you know, you're not in a position to do much about it. You're in a crowd. You know, it's not personal ministry time. And I just said, Lord, I step into the dimension of your light. And, man, they scattered. And it's same thing with dealing with a deliverance. There's none of this, I bind you you know, tell me your name and, you just, Lord, what's the demon? Take the demon into his presence, and they don't like that.
No, they don't. No. Absolutely, they don't.
Yeah, no. And then whatever the Lord says to do, you do. Nobody's getting burned. Nobody's frothing at the mouth and throwing up and falling on the floor. It's so much easier. Yeah, but that's that. What you're saying, that's the stewarding. The next, the realm we're the what we're working on now is the government.
Yeah.
Is stepping into, you know, stopping floods, multiplying harvests, you know, governmental relations, and that's I really we talked about the book, and I went, next time we get together, we should see if there's a book. So.
Yeah. Well, a book, a scroll, whatever you call it, there will be something that has the blueprint for your government and what you're called to administer. You know, and for us, you know, we have, you know, loads of pages now that we've gone and seen, and then you begin to administer those in the timing of God. Some things that are the timing is really critical of when you, just because you see something doesn't mean you do it. But you take it into your heart, and then you begin to cultivate desire. And I think that's a real key, cultivating desire. Because when God gives us insight into his will and purpose, we have to take that within us and begin to cultivate it such that our desires are drawn towards it, and it then shapes and directs and guides everything we do and say. Because we carry that, and it's within us, and you know, how do you cultivate that desire? Well, you have to fix your eyes on it fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. You have to look into it and continue to look into it and continue to brood over it. You know, and this is the key. The Spirit brooded, hovered over the waters with a vibrational energy of the wind of the Spirit that brought the waters back into a place and began to bring transformation and release from that frequency a recreation of the earth. So we have to brood over those things in us. We have to incubate them. And when we incubate them and when we think about them, you know, basically a woman begins to incubate a child within her. It's not like, oh, well, 9 months later, I'm going to think about what all that's about. You spend a whole 9 months preparing, building, nurturing this child within you, feeding it, because you in a natural sense. Then you begin to feel it moving, and it starts to, hey, this is beginning to produce life. And it's the same in the things in the Spirit. We have to learn to birth things and frame the desire. God will give us the desires of our heart. And if they're His desires that we've cultivated and grown, then He's not going to have any problem releasing them. He sometimes holds back on releasing some of the desires of the things we want, because sometimes we desire things that aren't that helpful. But even then, sometimes He'll give us the desires of our heart if we keep on at Him. You know, if we don't give up on certain things, and some of those things are not necessarily the best, but He will release our desires. Now, if we've cultivated His desire within our hearts, then we can begin to get everything out of that and see it released. That means we would begin to speak out of it, because the heart, you know, the mouth speaks the overflow of the heart. You know, and the heart is, from Proverbs 4, is where it's the center of our lives. Things flow out of it. We have to guard it and protect it and look after it, because it's so important. So, you know, I think that's where, okay, what is it that God's saying to you? What is He saying about this sphere of government? Actually begin to really cultivate that within your heart. Begin to brood over it, incubate it, frame it as desire, and then when you begin to come around the ark, you begin to see into the past of the desire and the future of that desire, so that you can frame it into the day. And then on your mountains, you can call things that be not. You can bind things in the right way. That is the destiny. So I'm going to release that as a binding into it. So, yeah.
That's certainly given us a lot more to think about when we get together on Friday, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it is a key. You know, and it's, again, I don't think we just quite know what to do. And what do we do? We'll go and see some things, or we go, but actually, what has God already said? Are we cultivating and incubating that? You know, when He says some more or shows us some more, what are we going to do with that? Because if we just sort of, okay, that's good, we'll write it in our book and one day it might come to pass, that's not going to bring it, we're not going to birth it. And so holding it to pass in our hearts, incubating it, framing it that way, then our words will begin to speak when we go onto our mountain. It's not like, oh, what should I say? How can I legislate? No, I'll know exactly what to release and birth out of my spirit, because it will flow like a river. And in actual fact, you know, I have embraced that on my own mountains, that actually I need to, I'm under the government of God, therefore I have a crown with 12 stones representing the 12 stones from the breastplate of the high priest, so 9 stones of the fire stones, 3 of my stones that bring together this way of engaging. And so I'm under those stones, they're on my head, and those stones are there. So they issue a frequency. They put out a resonance frequency of the vibrational energy of what they contain, the revelation of those stones. I'm under it. So I'm sitting there receiving this frequency. What do I do when I incubate that? I release it as a river. So not only is the river of life now flowing out of my spirit, you know, from heaven, I am now beginning to release the river from my mountains and see the frequency from those stones imparted into the river and it begin to flow. So I'm, again, doing on in heaven what I'm then going to see as a gateway on earth, and I can release that river, which contains life, which is the frequency of that stone or whatever it is that has been imparted into it. And a friend of mine was doing this in his own life, and he had this, you know, God showed him this red stone, and he put it into the river, and the whole river turned red and began to flow red. Well, literally, that's what we're doing when the frequency of the colors of those stones and what they contain is released. And we release it. And we release it to come out and flow from our innermost being there. You know, so, you know, there's I sort of pick up stuff and, you know, learn new stuff all the time, you know. I wasn't doing that before. I was declaring, and I'm still declaring. But actually, this was a sense, no, I am releasing a frequency and a sound that's coming out of my innermost being, you know, that is going to change and transform something when it actually begins to engage it in this realm. So, you know, there's lots of things that we just sort of begin to pick up and understand more of so that we can actually integrate.
Well, and actually, too, in the physical, that's what some, that's what groups or countries are doing with the whole harp thing. They're releasing frequencies and they're releasing resonance to change the atmosphere. And so, what you're talking about is again has to be by faith that that crown is there all the time.
Yeah.
And faith, even I went with an activation the other day on the fire stones, and even though you're not knowing what you're receiving, by faith you're receiving, and by faith you're having that reside in you, and by faith, when it's God's purpose or God's timing, that revelation or that authority or whatever will be released when he needs to release it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, the firestones are such deep revelation, and there's layers and layers and layers that you can look into deeper and deeper. But they are then part of the stones that we carry on our crown that is there. And so that frequency is released into us, and it does direct. Sometimes I start saying things and doing things that I have no concept of. You know, I have no connection to in terms of cognitive behavior, but because I've looked into the fire stones, and because those are in those stones, and they suddenly start to release frequency into me, I find that I'm saying things that I've never thought of, because they come out of the revelation of that depth of those fire stones. You know, mm-hmm. You know, which is why we look into them. It's why we're looking into destiny, and we're looking into the precepts of God, so that actually when we're in our place as authority, we can release his precepts and his ordinances and his commandments and his testimonies, and because that's what we begin to release from those places of authority.
Right, yeah.
But we have to receive them to be able to release them. You know, so the more we look into those things, you know, the more we look into the past and the future associated with our destinies, then those will begin to flow out of us, and they're in us, and we release them. You know, because people say to me, well, what do you do from your mountain? You know, and I say, well, what I release whatever I've received from the other places I've been. So if I've been around the ark and I receive his things written on my heart, I receive a mandate, I vibrate, come to resonant with the frequency of God's will, then I'm going to release that when I'm in the position of authority to do it. And if I need to call an angel or release angelic things to do it, then it's important. But I was listening to Ian Clayton the other day. I haven't listened to him for a while, but I was listening to him on it when I was traveling up to a 3-hour trip to get the plane to go over to Germany, and I was listening to some stuff, and he was talking about, you know, when we're in those positions of authority, what we dispossess, we must step into. Mm-hmm. And so when we have these things and we're looking to deal with, say, dragons and giants and all that stuff, and we have to step in, we can't leave a vacuum. Because it's, you know, same thing Jesus said, you know, you cast out a whole load of stuff, but if you leave the house empty, you don't fill it, then it comes back a whole times worse. They'll bring seven worse ones back. So, you know, just because we deal with a dragon, if we do not rule from the mountain and step into the position of authority, we've now got the resources from that that's blocking and hinder us, then it'll come back with more. So it's really important that we step into the governmental responsibility that we have been given. Now, obviously, as I said, it's not about striving or struggling for it. We have to incubate it and begin to carry it in our hearts. You know, so if you're carrying the 49th parallel in your heart and you're carrying that dimension, then that is going to start coming out. You know, and the revelation that God's, when you are soaring in the heavens and you're looking from the perspective of the eagle, you know, because again, when you go around the ark, you want to look into the purpose of presence of God and then step into Him, because it's in Him that we can speak out from Him. And you may be drawn to the kingly perspective if there's chaos and you need to bring order and government. You may need to step into the prophetic perspective of His face, so that you can begin to manifest that which is to come into the present. The apostolic is a key one when you're bringing government, because you have to see the bigger picture. You know, what is going on over the sphere? What can I see? You know, can I see in operation from that soaring with the eagle, if you like? You know, so it's important to be able to see from those perspectives, because that gives us the heavenly perspective to then bring government and to release government for and do all those things. So, you know, I think it is a really, really important, yeah, to think about there.
Right.
And maybe next time we will look to engage around the ark, engage the mandates, and let's just begin to see, you know, some of the practical outworkings of what will be released from that. Because I think, you know, I don't mind talking about it and sharing, but we need to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had some amazing revelation when I went to Germany, because they invited me and they were hungry and they authorized, you know, I was authorized by God to do some things, but the first evening I basically said, okay, God has given me some things, but I need your earthly agreement. If I'm going to open up an everlasting door over this place for this period of time, God has authorized me in heaven, but will you come into agreement so that that can be manifested? And they, of course, they said yes, and wow, there was just an amazing presence of God. You know, even more intense than we usually have here at home. It was such an intense thing, but I was able to see in the realms of heaven. You know, I was able to see into the atmosphere and to see into the history even. I was shown the history of the nation and our nation. You know, it actually was amazing stuff, you know, because I was in that place. You know, I'd stepped into that. I could see the mountain over Germany. I could see that which was around it and blocking it. And, you know, And all week I was waiting for authorization to be able to try and deal with this thing. And eventually I got it. And then I, again, took it to them and said, is there earthly agreement for me to be able to do this in the heavens and release this? In which there was, and it was just an amazing encounter. So once we start to step into our positions of authority, the things we see is just are different. I mean, you know, I'd never seen into the past of a nation like that. I was looking from the perspective of heaven, and I saw the connections in history, in the natural realm, that the enemy had destroyed and broken, and how that applied to the spiritual realm, and then what God was going to do in terms of restoring it. You know, and it was just amazing, really. I mean, even I was, you know, because you go in these places and you think, well, I really hope God shows up and, you know, I can see something, you know. You know, and I went in the spirit to see in the spirit before I went, and I saw something there. But, you know, I'm still sort of practicing this stuff and working at it. So it was a somewhat of a relief and a blessing to actually be able to minister some things, you know, in a foreign country, in a sense. Yeah. So, you know, when I'm coming over to Canada and over to the US in July and August, you know, I'm really going to be looking for what can I see and what can I help others to see so that we can begin to administer some things if I'm authorized to do it. I don't know what the authorizations are yet because, you know, I won't be going looking into the heavens until, you know, I need to go. But I will be looking for that, and I will really be looking for how we can together look to administrate and legislate that which is to come and bring it into and birth it into today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which is, you know, awesome, really.
Awesome, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Awesome.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Okay, well, let's... Okay.